John chapter 10, verse 11 through 16. Jesus is speaking and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, you who are the shepherd of Israel, and through your Son, the Lord Jesus, you shepherd your people. We ask you to teach us today from your word about Jesus, our good shepherd. In his name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. The concept of a shepherd, of a good shepherd, has always been a precious truth in both the Old and the New Testaments. Even city dwellers like ourselves, who may never have had much or any personal experience with sheep, we can understand and appreciate the fact that a good shepherd watches over, protects, and leads his flock of sheep to green pastures and water, and takes good care of the flock. Many of us have seen a statue or a painting of a shepherd carrying a lamb on his shoulders, a sheep on his shoulders that has gone astray, and he's bringing it back home. And this is based on that famous passage in Luke chapter 15 where it says, the shepherd leaves the 99. And he goes and he finds that stray sheep and he brings it back to the flock. And this picture of the shepherd is something that all of us can get a hold of. Children can understand this. And mature people can understand this. Whether we live in the city or we live in the country, we can relate to this concept of a shepherd and his sheep. And most of us who've been in the church for a while have been taught that sheep are rather dumb and helpless animals who cannot really survive in the world without the watch, care, and guidance of a shepherd. If they were left to themselves, they would be decimated by wild animals. They would wander off and fall in holes. They would not be able to survive very long. And we learn that one of the wonderful things about the picture of sheep and their nature is that it's somewhat like us, people. We need a shepherd who is wiser and stronger than we are to lead us through life and to protect us from life's dangers. Especially those spiritual dangers that we can easily fall into.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, sheep must have a shepherd. And you and I also must have a shepherd. Well, today we're returning to this great theme of the shepherd that's found in John chapter 10. And so far we've had two sermons from chapter 10. First of all, we learned that the Lord Jesus is the true shepherd as opposed to the false shepherds. False shepherds who have misled God's people, in fact, abused them. And there's still plenty of them around. And we also learn that Jesus is the gate into the sheepfold. And the only way to enter the sheepfold of the people of God is to enter into the kingdom of God, in other words, is through the gate, through Jesus Christ. For He's the only one in the history of the world who came to die for the sins of His people and was raised from the dead. Well, today, the theme of our text here is the Good Shepherd. Now, this word good, if we look at it in the Greek language, it can be translated like this: good, upright, proper, fitting, better, honorable, honest, fine, beautiful, and precious. Well, those are possible translations. Well, all of these qualities of a good shepherd, beautiful and precious and honorable, to sum it all up, we call him the Good Shepherd, are found in Christ. Well, we need a good shepherd because life is difficult and life is dangerous. Life is filled with pitfalls and with wolves who would devour us. There are, in fact, too many pitfalls and too many wolves, too many dangers, both physical and spiritual, for us to survive in this world, for us to escape the corruptions in the world. We have to have a shepherd who will guide us, who will deliver us from harm and evil, who will lead us into His green pastures and beside His still waters. So the question, first of all, that we should ask ourselves today, or let me ask you the question: have you come to Jesus Christ to be your guide and shepherd through your life? Or are you trying to survive by your own intelligence and hard work and good luck? If you have come to the shepherd, if you are following Him, if you are nourished by His love, you are, of all people, the most blessed on planet Earth. But if you've not come to the shepherd, if you're trying to navigate life on your own, you'll end up in shipwreck. And you'll not have an eternal home to go to with the Good Shepherd. But happy is the man and woman, the boy and girl who has fixed his or her hope and trust in the Lord his God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says of Himself in verse 11, He said, "I am the Good Shepherd." Well, let's look at our passage today and let's consider some of the reasons in this passage that Jesus can say that He is the Good Shepherd. First of all, He is a good shepherd because He is a divine shepherd. Now, Jesus, when He states this sentence, does not choose His words lightly. But I believe He carefully chose these words because this sentence, "I am the Good Shepherd," is full of meaning for us. Now, to understand the importance of this statement, we need to go back to the Old Testament for a minute and consider some of the texts there that speak of Yahweh being the shepherd of His people. One of the first examples of this is found in chapter 49, when Jacob is, before he dies, he gives a blessing and prophecies upon his 12 sons. And in verse 24 and 25, we read about the blessing on his son Joseph. It says there, "But his bow remained steady, his strong arms stayed limber, Because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you. So the shepherd here is synonymous, is the same person as all these descriptions of God Himself. He's the mighty one. He's the almighty one. He's our Father's God, the rock of Israel. He is the shepherd. So this is a term used in the Old Testament to describe Yahweh Himself. He is the shepherd, the rock of Israel. And of course, we're all familiar with Psalm 23, written by that shepherd named David, who became king of Israel, from whom Christ was descended. And we know those familiar words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall lack nothing." And there's a description there in that psalm of the great blessings that come to a human person when the Lord God is their shepherd. And we read today in our service from Psalm 80, verse 1. A prayer to God, "Hear us, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth." Well, the one who sits enthroned between the cherubim is God Himself. He's the shepherd of Israel. And so this term, you see, in the Old Testament is pregnant with meaning. The Old Testament worshipers knew Jehovah as their great and good shepherd. One more text, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and He rules with a mighty arm. See, His reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him." Verse 11, "He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young." A beautiful picture of the Old Testament worshipers and their relationship to Jehovah, to Yahweh. He tended them like a flock, gathered them as lambs in His arms, and carries them close to His heart. You see, they're precious to Yahweh, and He leads these. So we see that in the Old Testament, the whole reality that Yahweh is the good shepherd of His people was the background and the foundation out of which Jesus calls Himself, "I am the Good Shepherd." So what He's doing here, He's actually indicating, He's aligning Himself with Yahweh in the Old Testament. Now, if Jesus Christ is your shepherd today, He is carrying you in His arms, close to His heart, and He is gently leading you also. If you belong to Jesus, this is the reality of your existence. This is the reality of your Christian experience. Do you believe this? Maybe you don't feel like He's gently leading you. Maybe the road you're traveling on is rough. But remember that over all the rough roads that we may have to travel through life, there's a greater reality behind the scenes, and that is that the great shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord, is holding you in His arms. And He's leading you. He's holding you close to His heart. He's leading you in the path He has for you. It may not be an easy path, but He has a plan, a plan that's greater than our plan. And He's working for our good. We have to believe this, in spite of the difficulties of life. Jesus is holding us close to His bosom. He's speaking words of love and kindness and compassion to His people. He's a good shepherd. He's not going to allow anything to happen to us that will ultimately damage us spiritually. It's going to work for our good and for His glory. So let's pause for a moment and give Him thanks that He's our good shepherd. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this great truth revealed in Your holy word, that although our lives are often filled with great difficulty, You are our good shepherd, and You're carrying us close to Your heart, and You're gently leading us through life. Thank You, O good shepherd of Your people. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Before we leave this first sentence in verse 11, we must note that this is one of the prime examples of those great I am statements that Jesus makes in John's Gospel. Remember, we've seen Him say, I am the bread of life, the true bread that came down from heaven. He says, I am the light of the world. He who walks in Me will never walk in darkness. And so all these, what we call the I am statements of Jesus Christ are related to that original statement that Yahweh Himself said to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses said, what shall I tell the people Your name is when I go back to lead them out of Egypt? And He says, tell them that I am who I am has sent you, that My name is I am. And so this expression, I am, which is translated Yahweh, is God's name. And Jesus is using this to describe Himself and His particular ministries among His people. He says, I am the self-existent one. I am the bread of life to My people. I am the light of the world to you. If you come to My light, you'll escape the darkness. You'll be forever in the light. And of course, He says later on in John's Gospel that He's the true vine, that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and so forth. So, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, He's saying that He is the eternal, the self-existent one. He's the shepherd of His people who has come to carry them and to lead them, to be their good shepherd. He's taken upon Himself our human nature to walk among us, to teach us, and to shepherd us. And this relationship of the good shepherd to His sheep is not something that's going to end in this life. This is a relationship that begins in this life, but it goes on into the next life. We saw this when we read today from Revelation chapter 7. The picture of the age to come. And it says there in Revelation 7, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. You see, we have a good shepherd who leads us and carries us through this life. And He'll continue the same in the next life. When Christ comes at the end of this age and brings about the resurrection of the dead and a new heaven, a new earth descend from heaven, and there we live with our God face to face forever. So the first thing we see here today, that Jesus is the good shepherd because He is the divine shepherd. Yes, He's fully human, but He's also that divine shepherd who carries His people now and into eternity. But let's look at the second sentence in verse 11. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I want us to know three things about this statement that Jesus said. He's a good shepherd because he lays his life down for his sheep. He's a good shepherd because he sacrifices himself for his sheep. First of all, note this. He states he has a purpose. He's a good shepherd because he has this purpose of laying down his life for his sheep. Now, being a shepherd in Bible times was not always an easy job. The shepherd could be attacked by a bear or a wolf or a lion. There's a possibility he could be killed. However, shepherds did not expect to die. They had weapons to defend themselves and to defend their sheep. You remember David killed a bear one time as he was shepherding his flock. But the unique thing here about Jesus, he says of himself as a shepherd that he came with the expectation and the purpose of laying down his life. He came expecting and intending to die for his sheep. This is not the way normal shepherds do. They don't expect to die watching over the sheep. But this shepherd did. This was his purpose. Notice secondly, the voluntary nature of his death in behalf of his sheep. He decided to do this. No one forced him to die. He wanted to do this. He intended to do this. His whole earthly ministry was pointing to and leading up to the climax where he would die on the cross, where he would lay down his life for his sheep. Yes, God would use the human instruments of the opposition of the Jews and of the Roman government officials such as Herod and Pontius Pilate, but behind the scenes, God was carrying out his eternal purpose. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he gave up his breath. It was not forced out of him. He willingly and of his own power died. This was his intention. This was the will of God. Notice what verse 17 and 18 say. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. So he came to lay down his life of his own will, of his own volition. And he did it of his own authority. He did this to accomplish the will of God. You remember what Hebrews chapter 10 says? It says in verse 5, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Verse 7, then he said, here I am, it's written about me in the scroll. I've come to do your will, O Lord. Jesus came to fulfill Scripture, to offer up his body as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. Now, notice a third thing about the second sentence, where he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Notice the specific target of those for whom he laid his life down for. He says he lays his life down for the sheep. Now, if we look at the context of John chapter 10, we see that the sheep that he's talking about is his own flock. The flock that comes out of the sheepfold and follows him and knows his voice. He's talking about that one flock. He's not talking about the other flocks. He's not talking about the herd of goats or the herd of cattle or other shepherds' flocks. He's only talking about those who are put under His charge, the ones over whom He watches. That one flock that He leads and takes care of. Jesus came to give His life for the sheep, for this particular flock. In other words, His death is very specific. It has a definite target and goal. It is death for His flock, for His sheep alone. Well, He's the Good Shepherd because He laid His life down specifically for His sheep. That's for you. That's for me. Those of us who are so blessed to belong to Him as our shepherd. Another reason He's the Good Shepherd, the third reason, is that He's committed to His sheep's welfare. Well, we can see this. Look at verses 12 and 13. Here's an opposite description of those shepherds who are not concerned for the sheep's welfare. They're called the hired hand. Notice this, the hired hand, verse 12, does not own the sheep. So there's a big difference whether you own the sheep or not. You know, if you own your car, you're going to take good care of it. But if you're borrowing somebody's car, you may not be as careful. Well, you should be. I should be, right? But when you own something, you treasure it more. You protect it. You guard it. The hired hand doesn't own the sheep. He's just a hired hand. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep. Jesus never abandons His sheep. No matter the wolf, the bear, the lion, whatever may come in His flock, He will not abandon His sheep because He owns them. He's committed to them. But the hired hand runs away. And what happens when the hired hand runs away? The wolf attacks the sheep, attacks the flock, and scatters it. Disaster. Because this man does not own the sheep, he does not really care for the sheep. It says he cares nothing for the sheep. Well, you remember Jesus is giving this teaching in the context of the man who was born blind, and the Pharisees despised the man, mocked him, kicked him out of the synagogue, did not minister to him spiritually at all. In other words, on the other hand, they abused him emotionally, religiously. But the Good Shepherd is committed to His sheep. Look at the way Jesus ministered to the man born blind. He went and found him and spoke to him and asked him if he believed that he was the Son of God. And he said, "Yes, tell me who he is." And he said, "I'm the one speaking to you." And the man said, "I believe," and he worshipped him. So Jesus healed him and brought him into His kingdom and comforted him when the humans who should have been His shepherds treated him wrongly. Well, the shepherd, the good shepherd, is committed to his sheep. He will protect them from danger, from enemies, from those who would ravage the flock. He will stick with his people. He will never desert them, no matter what happens. Because he cares deeply, intimately, and unfailingly for his sheep. There's another reason he's a good shepherd. Look at verse 14. "I'm the good shepherd, for I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." You see, he knows his sheep intimately. He knows everything about each of his sheep. The good shepherd knows each of his sheep. He knows which one has a wound and which one has a limp and which one has trouble nursing. He knows everything about his sheep. He's an observant caretaker of the sheep. And so is the Lord Jesus. He knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts before we think them. You remember when Jesus met the woman at the well of Samaria. She said, I'm going to go and get my husband. He said, you've had five husbands. The one you're living with is not your husband. And she realized he was a prophet, that he knew everything about her. This shepherd, this Jewish prophet at the well, knew this sheep. He knew everything about her. And so God, Jesus Christ, our shepherd, He knows everything about us. He knows our needs, our weaknesses, our strengths. He knows just the way He needs to lead us through the pathway of life. So much better than we know. And so He's the good shepherd because He knows us so intimately and so precisely. And He knows exactly the best way to lead us. One more reason why He's the good shepherd. And that is because He gathers all of His sheep. He says in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Well, in the historical context, that could be a reference to the Jewish nation. They're not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You see, there are other sheep. Besides these disciples that were with Him that day, and besides those followers and believers, besides those Jewish people who saw Him resurrected from the dead and believed in Him, there were others that would come into this great flock, the Gentile nations. So He's a good shepherd because He's gathering people from out of every nation, tribe, and tongue into this one flock. Don't you love the words here in Ephesians chapter 2? He's speaking primarily to the Gentiles here. And he says in verse 11, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcision by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. That was you and me, right? But now in Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made the two one, Jew and Gentile one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law, and so forth. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, to reconcile them both to God through the cross. And so, this Good Shepherd is gathering a great flock out of every nation, tribe, and tongue into this one precious flock that He's nourishing and tenderly leading. Well, a wonderful shepherd He is. So Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the divine shepherd. He's the I Am. He has all power to accomplish all of His holy will for His sheep, for each one of us. And He will do it. He has a plan for each life that He's carrying out. And throughout this life, He's leading us, carrying us, holding us close to his heart, and gently leading us. He laid down his life for his people. He will not fail to bring each one of his chosen children to himself. His purposes that were established before the foundation of the earth will be carried out in time. As you and I hear the call of the gospel, as all of his people hear the call of the gospel, we will recognize the voice of the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd, speaking to us and calling us to himself, and we will respond. We know his voice, and we follow him. He knows us, and we know him. We recognize the voice of the good shepherd when we hear the gospel preached. We hear of the Son of God who came, who lived a sinless life, whose righteousness is applied to the account of his people when they come to him. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended back to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit upon his people. We hear the voice of the Good Shepherd when we hear the gospel and we follow him. He knows his sheep. He knows you and he knows I. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He owns us. We don't belong to ourselves. Our lives are in his hands. He's our good shepherd. We can trust him. We just need to follow him. We need to be sensitive to his spirit under the guidance supremely of his word. And we know the shepherd is going to gather all of his sheep. He will not fail. He'll gather each one of those for whom he laid his life down for. He will accomplish the salvation of every one of his chosen elect people. Because he came with a specific purpose, with an intent, with a mission to lay his life down for his sheep, for each of his sheep, his precious sheep that he set his love upon before the foundation of the world. Brothers and sisters, we have a good shepherd. He laid down his life for us. He knows us. He's gathered us into his sheepfold. Let's seek to know him better. And let's seek to follow him. For he has our best interest in his heart.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you've not left us as wandering sheep in this life. But you have provided a good shepherd, a kind shepherd, an all-wise shepherd, an all-powerful shepherd who is leading each of us down that path that he's ordained from before the foundation of the world. So, Lord, help us to hear his voice, to know his voice, to follow him all the days of our life. And then we'll be ushered in to his blessed eternal kingdom, where the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd to continue to nourish us and to lead us beside the quiet waters and beside and into the green pastures. We give you our thanks. In Christ Jesus, our good and great shepherd's precious name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.